It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Anybody here seen my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? Oh, he freed a lot of people, but the good.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show, and I'd like to dedicate that to our young lady and leader, fearless leader, Tulsi Gabbard Tamayo. She was successful in passing a bill, so obviously she never heard that song, because if her dad had played that for her, she'd have a little soft spot. And I understand she was on one of the other shows bragging that she was eating a hot pile of pancakes on Maui while boasting she had passed that bill. So anyway, Tulsi, if your eyes are on Congress, then keep the people in mind, hopefully. So anyway, just a little dig, but what the heck, you know. Good morning again, and this is going to be, I'll call this the rock pile. I have about a 10-foot pile of rocks here today, And it's not to be mean and ugly, and, you know, because this is a season of giving and spirit, and everybody's flying high and happy. And so I just want to say to you, thank all of you for listening over the couple of years. And you believe it or not, it all goes by in a blur, but just in the sake of not sounding arrogant and what have you, but believe it or not, you're pretty informed if you listen to the Carol Cox Show. Mind you, there's a lot of things I say and mix it up, but let's just take one example. You listening to the Carol Cox Show, you were able to learn of the governor's secrecy. We knew about the judicial process that he was secret about. But you learn right here on the Carol Cox Show about the proclamation. You know, you learn right here that Mufi Hanneman had an illegal campaign in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, hanging out with the rail folks and what have you. And you've heard quite a few things. One of the things in the current, and many, many others, but, you know, I know when we first started this, there were some of the callers would say, you should go to the bigger papers or the bigger sources. You can come right here and get the same source. And, in fact, nobody going to buy us and sell us and have us to, we don't have an editor to say, take that out. We tell the truth here. So for those of you scratching your heads, why do I listen to that every morning, Sunday morning? I could be drinking coffee and playing with the grandkids or walking the dogs. You can always count on we're going to try and bring you good things and not tainted with political or any other thing. And in fact, if you just the most recent, you look at Tom Berg, you got to hear that Tom Berg, through the visit of Eric Ryan, whom the world was scorning and throwing rocks at, speaking of a pile of rocks, that poor guy, I thought I was back in Iraq, Iran, or Kuwait or somewhere where they stone you for the Republicans just set their sights on Eric Ryan and decided to, we got to stone him before he speaketh truth anymore. And right here on the Carol Cox Show, you heard that Jonah Kavai was pretty much done for, and they denied that. And you heard that Tom Berg, you got the first taste of the real Tom Berg, while the others were showing you pictures of him firing his chief of staff and what have you. And you got to hear here, red alert, red alert. I need you, Eric. I need you. You know, it's been such a hard time. I haven't held hands with you in a while. So you're not wasting your time. If you come here, you're going to get a fresh drink of water. And mind you, you're going to have some barbs with it. But that's the whole nature of this thing. It's I'm not trying to entertain, but just to share with you that it's worth your while. And I can go on and on and on and name them, but I offer that because a friend suggested that, you know, I didn't realize the number of things that you've brought to light here. And that's our purpose. That's our intent. And so if you, the listeners, have something that's annoying you or hurting you or you feeling you're getting shortchanged by the government or some entity or some big business, call us. We don't promise results, but we promise we'll try and work for the best results that will benefit you in fairness, and that's what it's about. Recently, there is a matter. Now, I also talked to you about the recent issues of the ambulance service here, the emergency medical services. And I said to you how horrendous in the state of affairs and the conflicts of interest, and there was a humongous complaint out there. And those complaints sat in the laps, still yet, in the lap of, I'm reluctant to call him Mayor Peter Carlisle, because I only see him when he's either lighting a tree that we claim it's a Christmas tree. We only see him when there's a little kid that getting a reward or he's sitting behind a fire truck. I've never seen him in a capacity of mayor. Have you? But anyway, the mayor has received a humongous complaint, which we talked about, which the people that wrote the complaint leaked it to us or sent it to us, not leaked, asking for assistance. It was also in the hands of the managing director. It was also in the hands of the state health department. It was also in the hands of Chuck Toto, our illustrious, fearless, fair and balanced, righteous, all-American ethics commission, you know, that kind of stuff, who selectively prosecute who he wishes to. You know, for example, if you remember, I brought to you Fred Burgess some while back, the city employee who had some issues And the conclusion was that he definitely had issues, and he was removed from work for a while. And then Mufi Hanneman hired him back, and today he still has a job. And I asked this big question, speaking of Mr. Fair and Balance, American Righteous Chuck Todd, why didn't he prosecute that gentleman? Why didn't he refer that matter? And if you recall, it was substantial amounts of money and time that was acquired and taken and what have you by this gentleman, and the activities were questionable, venting refrigerators and air conditioners and what have you. So you get all of that. And the ambulance, back to that, I tell you how it was terrible. And I said to you, if you only knew what was happening, you'd be shocked. Well, after that, I wasn't aware, but there was an actual audit that was concluding, being conducted by the city auditor. And it's enough to make you want to not call the ambulance service if you really knew what was going on. And by the way, nothing has happened. The director, I spoke to one of the complaints, as you recall, was that the director was actually Mr. Ireland, or Dr. Ireland. The allegation was that he had used the services of a city employee mechanic to repair his car, his personal collectible ambulance, a 1972 model, and to do some repairs on it and what have you at the city facility and on city time and what have you. But nonetheless, that was the allegation. Well, I spoke to the mechanic, and he confirmed that, yes, he did do the work, and he purchased tires for Mr. Ireland's car, personal car, so that it could be prepped and ready to ride in the parade for the Kapolei and the City Lights parade. How do you suppose that he was able to do that and get away with it? And this complaint went out months and months ago, and we haven't heard a peep from the mayor's office to ensure that this is done right and that they were going to take care of matters. They didn't do that. So what I'm going to share with you this morning, there's two things. And also, if you're listening out there and you want to chime in later on or any of them, I'm going to be sharing with you on the Haseco development and the recent difficulties the community is experiencing and learning that they're not going to build a marina. And you might be interested in that. I'm going to try and not to be technical, and I've heard this subject being tossed around and spins put on it. And they're not going to have that marina, and they've decided for whatever reasons. And you might be interested. This is we know of the Miss Kimberly Pine, a state representative. I've been hacked, Kimberly Pine. You know, hacked. She had to claim that Eric had hacked her website, that she was so bothered by it that she went and held a committee up on it to investigate, have a big hearing, brought in the highest of the highest of experts in hacking. And I've seen hacking is when people had colds and tried to get rid of it. This was no hacking. But we're going to talk about her and her involvement with this Haseco to a degree. And, you know, there was an article back in the November in the Star Advertiser, and it just says, residents praise plans for Eva Beach Lagoon. Lagoon. And I don't mean Blue Lagoon. I mean dirty, stinky, nasty, septic-type lagoon. You get the picture? So we're going to be talking about that, but this is what our leaders do for us, you see. They show up when the Christmas tree is being lighted, but they won't investigate complaints. When companies decide, well, we smoked and stroked these guys. We got what we want. We got our development. And now let's see here. Which politician can we use to help us pull the wool over the people's eyes. And believe it or not, there are a lot of people in this town that are in politics that are willing to pull the wool over your eyes. I just can't believe it. At every turn, there's someone willing. And then after they pull the wool over your eyes, they come back and say, guess who? Are you going to vote for me? You know, it's that kind of nonsense. So anyway, on the ambulance and the audit. So this audit, I'm going to be reading some of this, but this audit was conducted pursuant to Resolution 0986, which requested the city auditor to conduct an audit to determine the city's current fleet of ambulances and emergency notification vehicles was sufficient to meet emergency assistance needs on Oahu. For this audit, we focus on the ambulance service. Now, in this this document, they say that 90% of the calls or responses were late, believe it or not. And the state of Hawaii through Emergency Medical Services and Injury Prevention System, see, the state administers the money, which was given by the legislators to fund and take care of the costs for the ambulance service, is responsible for establishing and maintaining a statewide emergency medical service system, including emergency ambulances services for Oahu and then other islands. Since 1978, the state of Hawaii Health Department has contracted with the city and county of Honolulu to provide ambulance service for the island of Oahu. In July 2006, the branch awarded the city's Department of Emergency Services, also known as Honolulu Emergency Services Department, a $25.5 million contract for emergency ambulance services. The ambulance services is operated by HESD. Now, the original contract was extended each year and was still in effect for fiscal year 2010. The contract established various guidelines, and they pretty much were not happy with what they found. And under the contract, the city must provide on-call advanced life support, emergency ground ambulance services for 21 ambulances and a rapid response unit. And 17 of the 21 Oahu emergency ambulance service must be available 24 hours a day. I'm giving you that little tidbit, and later we'll put a link at carolcox.com, carolcox.com. And I'm just laying this out because I have often wondered, who pays for this service? Is it a private contractor? When you are transported or receive the care or assistance from the ambulance service, where does the money come from? So more so than being critical, I'm also trying to just share with you, maybe some of you are interested in these little tidbits. But in two of the 21 units, the city must provide on-call ALS emergency ambulance service 16 hours per day, 7 days a week. In the remaining two units, the city must provide on-call ALS rapid response. And what is ALS, advanced life support? Is a higher level of emergency medical care usually provided by emergency medical technicians, intermediates, or paramedics. Typically, ALS includes invasive techniques such as IV therapy, intubation, and drug administration. In contrast, the basic life support, BLS, involves fundamental emergency treatments such as CPR and includes non-emergent hospital-to-hospital transfers. So that's what part of that, so as we use these terms later on. The contract further specifies the city must establish a quality improvement program that it measures, maintains, and improves the effectiveness and efficiency of the emergency and medical services, best practices for quality improvement. In fiscal year 2010, EMS was authorized 277.75 full-time equivalents and had a budget of $31.7 million operating in capital expenditures related to providing ambulance service. EMS had 39 vehicles, including 19 ambulances, and on and on. So Some of the areas were, you know, they break them up into metro Waikiki area, metro Honolulu, Waimanalo, Waipahu, and those areas. And between fiscal year 2008-2010, EMS received over 231,000 calls for ambulance service. Those calls resulted in 132,633 hospital transports. So you'll see what this means here in a bit. So now we know that in getting a response, getting them to respond timely is was a problem. And as I say, 90% of them. And here's some of the things they found. Proactive actions could have increased funding for equipment and facilities. They say that we also found that EMS did not spend all of the state funds allocated in ambulance service contract. Besides salaries, the equipment purchases and facility improvements budget categories had high end-of-year balances that were unspent. You believe that? Most people are complaining about not having enough money. And here's the emergency medical services, the ambulance, we'll call them the ambulance service, get money. In fiscal year 2009, the EMS spent only, and listen to this one now, this is a matter of life and death. And I hope you grasp this. In fiscal year 2009, EMS spent only $38,838 of the $936,160 budgeted for equipment purchases, and spent zero of the $936,160 allocated for 2010. Can you believe that? Now, this isn't, we're not saying that the Department of Planning and Permitting, as my friend pointed out, that this is an office handling building permits. This is a matter of life and death. One of your loved ones, yourself, or me, any of us, needing that critical moment, that threshold, that if the longer the delay, the greater the results, or the more harsher the results, or saddened, and the results can be deadly. Can you imagine that an agency would be awarded nearly $1 million in 1 year and only spend $38,000 of that and leave the rest sitting on the shelf? And imagine the defibrillators, imagine the CPR that could have, that money could have gone to train more people. Imagine having workers hired out of $1 million, or having some kind of program, a survey or something that would make the service is better and more efficient. But imagine that. And who would tolerate that? The people that tolerate this kind of nonsense is the people that show up at Christmas to light the tree, that sits in the fire truck, that runs to the rail and say, I got your back, brother, because I'm, you know, I'm able to do this thing. I'm with you. And yet, the wheels are falling off the ambulance service. Now, how do you gauge a man's success? Well, he can lie to you and tell you he's the best politician there is. He can tell you how great he is. He can promise you like many of the politicians promise you. But I can't imagine having to look anyone in the eye and say, I know that my administration, under my watchful eyes, we had approximately in 2 years, approximately $2 million that we didn't spend. And one of you out there, your loved ones, may have had that very moment, that critical moment, where the impacts of the stroke were severe, more severe because they didn't get you in time. Or someone's child may have died because they couldn't get there in time to get to the trauma. I don't know the medical issues and all, and I don't pretend to, but I'm sure if I'm just right, just one incident, that is more than enough. That's the life of another human being. So those of you that might want to call in, 524-1080, by the way, you're welcome to call in. I'd like to hear what you think about this. And how is it that anybody can be so involved in the rail and other politics, and yet the basic life thread that we depend on in emergency situations, we're leaving more than $2 million. Now, according to an EMS administrator, the division purchased equipment such as defibrillators, laptop computers, office furniture, radio telecommunications equipment, and various new and replacement medical equipment in fiscal year 2008. Fiscal year 2009 and 2010, EMS used federal grant funds to purchase the items instead of state funds. So, can someone help me out in understanding this? Because I don't know if I'm sitting here trying to interpret this, but from a human perspective, or just someone sitting with a microphone in front of him yapping. But this is terrible, in my description, in my opinion. Proper planning and proactive actions could have optimized the use of the state funds and ensured the state funds were used for the program. During our three-year review period, we found that EMS spent less than half of their budgeted funds for facility improvements, leaving a balance of over $152,000 in fiscal year 2009 and 2010. You probably come out better by calling a taxi cab. They probably, because they need to make money, and they're going to try to be there on time. These dudes sit around with money, and they're overworked. And when I say overworked, I'm careful not to say they're overpaid, or underpaid, I should say. And this is what we have going on with the ambulance service. And the state of Hawaii, EMS relies on costly overtime to provide ambulance services. I'm just going through this loosely. The state of Hawaii contract for ambulance service requires that city provide on-call emergency ambulance services 24 hours per day, 7 days a week, 16 units. Emergency Medical Services Division relies on costly overtime to provide the required services and coverage required by the contract because of staff vacancies, turnover, staffing shortages, and excessive leave within the division. As a result, one employee was paid over $200,000 per year, and several earned twice their base salaries. Some employees also work over extended periods, which could impact the quality of patient care and could endanger patients who need serious or critical care related to 911 calls. The overtime costs may also expose the city to potential unfunded liabilities. And that sounds like from a distance, you and I are okay. But the patient's care, that's you or me. Any day now, you or your loved ones or my number may be pulled. And I'll just loosely describe it as that. Or I may need the services or you may need their services. And this is what you're relying on. The critical moment, it's being compromised by what I don't know what it is. We know that in the complaint earlier that the mayor sits on, that Chuck Tato sits on, that the state sat on, that others sat on and did absolutely nothing, because you just don't do what's right in this town. You do what's right for your friends. But you don't do what's right for the citizens. And the state allocates, the legislators allocates the money, give the funding, and these bozos sit around and take the money and just sit on it. What about a new truck, faster, quicker, better sirens, or some education? What about more public announcements to address the sad sight that you see sometimes when people don't move over? You need to constantly remind people and educate them that something as simple as pulling over to the side or getting out of the lane and not interfering with an ambulance that's responding or transporting with the red lights on. Imagine just if 200 people that were educated, that will translate into time saved, life saved. But no, we need the money. You give us the money, and we don't spend it. Good morning. Call a comment or question. Hello. Well, that caller disappeared, and I guess he called the wrong, didn't dial the right number or something. Anyway, call back if you'd like to, and if you had problems. Now, state contract and ambulance service coverage. In this complaint that was brought by the workers there at the ambulance service, or the EMS, they allege that Dr. Ireland is working at the hospital on Thursdays or some days, and I went by and documented that, yes, in fact, he has his name on the board there, and there's an office for him, which is okay. I mean, man should be able to do what he wants to do, but not when we have problems such as these. And the complaint also advises or alleges that the doctor was a manager, was formerly employed or associated with AMR, American Medical Resources. Anyway, the state contract for ambulance service required that the city to provide on-call advanced life support emergency ground ambulance service 24 hours a day. The contract further requires the city to provide ambulance services 16 hours per day, 7 days. And as of April 2011, EMS had 245.75 FTEs filled. The balance of 32 FTEs were vacant and impacted the city's ability to provide required ambulance services. Am I missing something here? First, you get the money, and you get lots of money. Then you don't spend it. Then you're funded to hire a full load of employees, because this is a matter of life and death and wear and tear on the workers and the stress, which translates into lower quality service. And you fail to hire anyone. You're working on a skeleton crew. You have some 32 positions vacant. Yet you have employees making $200,000 a year based on overtime. So you're short of staff, and you're straining that resource. And then you're overworking or allowing the person to overwork and arrive there stressed out, nervous, filled with coffee, and might make the wrong decision. And you have no problem with that. Imagine that. They say that we found that some workers were earning between 200% and 350% of their regular salaries in non-holiday overtime pay between 2008 and 2010. One employee's annual earnings totaled $207,000. One EMS worker accumulated over 2,400 hours or 305 days of overtime pay. Man, keep him away from me if I'm needing of an ambulance. The guy probably has toothpicks propping his eyelids open. And who, in their right mind, who with an ounce of integrity or care would allow an agency of this to operate in this capacity, of this caliber, or lack of, who would allow that? And yet, the rail, we got it. Let's go for it. Merry Christmas, you know. But yet, this is, now keep in mind, now this is also part of the same era that guy named, I think, no, I'm going to call him wannabe Congressman Mufi Hanneman. See, he was a mayor, just to remind you, at this time too, back in 2008 when they started this thing and looking at it. So just like his political career needing some emergency services, maybe he should take a message and understand that while he was busy with the rail, there were some people probably are sitting in nursing homes or not with us anymore because the dysfunctional nature of the MS and the mess that he allowed to develop. See, this is how we judge our politicians. This is why, mind you, I have a little color and add a little color to my to what I'm presenting to you, and I try to have a stinging or a very serious bite with it. But I'm going to serve it up to you. This is how you and I decide who we vote for. This is how you and I decide if the system is working. When you hear things like this and you see things like this. Good morning, caller. Comment or question? Hello? Well, I guess there's a... That's probably Carlisle probably calling up to disrupt the show, but the show must go on, folks. So anyway, that's the nice part about this. Well, at least they're listening. Ha ha. Isn't that cool? You can always see it one way or another. Anyway, this is what we have here. Another employee worked 388 days in one fiscal year and took only 27 days off. Well, gee whiz, imagine. It sounds like Superman arriving there. Don't need an ambulance, it just fly over. How on earth can a human being work 388 days in one fiscal year and took only 27 days off? How many days are in a year? Folks, can you help me? I'm from Mississippi, and so sometimes I'm slow at counting, but if you got some insight on that one, please help me out. Between overtime costs total $15.7 million over 3 years, overtime. Between fiscal year 2008 and 2010, the city's EMS operation spent $15.7 million in non-holiday overtime costs. EMS staff stated long-term vacancies, employee turnover, and sick leave abuse caused the high overtime. As a result, some workers incurred excessive overtime hours and unusually high pay. So let me get this right. Their claim is that some workers were abusing sick leave. I would be sick, too, if you're leaving 37 or 30-some-odd positions vacant and working me like a dog. And I'm told part of the complaint was that, by the way, even though there's high overtime pay, it was only allowed to certain individuals. Some of the kids, the fair-haired ones, or the ones that were politically connected, or ones that were willing to do favors and flavors for the upper echelon. So I don't know if this matters to you, but we'll talk about it anyway. And it's something we all should stand up and... take notice. Staff vacancies, it says, contribute to the overtime costs. Right? This is the auditor's comments. State of Hawaii EMS administrators confirm that excessive overtime is a major problem for the city's ambulance operation. This guy got problems of thinking. On one hand, he won't hire full staff, and he fires quite a few, and not he, or there's the retention. There's some problems with retaining people. And they're claiming abuse of sick leave and other leaves. And now he say that there's a major problem with excessive overtime. EMF staff stated that one of the primary causes for overtime is the number of staff vacancies in the division. Some of them, that's the staff, not the administrators. More specifically, as of June 30, 2008, EMS had 48 vacancies. As of June 30, 2009, EMS had 40 vacancies. Slight improvement there, but 40? Dealing with the matter of life and death? Go ahead, call a comment or question. Boy, they love me, don't they? Hello. Caller, you're there.
Don't slander poor Mr. Kyle.
Hello, good morning.
We don't want gossip talk and we don't want slander talk. We want happy holiday talk.
Yeah, well, don't call the ambulance. You won't have any day talk.
No, you call the ambulance. They come all they might. They come all they might. Well, but remember, you said that guy's getting $200,000.
Well,
$200,000 for one guy.
Well, I've
got to split the paycheck for everybody so they don't have to work hard.
Well, I read that and saw that, and I needed an ambulance. So, but then I was reluctant to call.
Why?
Yeah, and thank you. That's okay. We do.
Why were you reluctant to call?
Pardon me?
Why were you reluctant to call the ambulance?
Well, did you hear part or all of the show or none of it?
Just about half an hour now.
Okay, well then keep listening and I'll try and explain to you.
Okay, thank you, our future, our volunteer leader.
All right.
Have a happy Christmas.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Right.
Good morning. Call, comment, or question? Hello? Hello? Paula, you have a comment or question?
Yes, hello. How long has the mayor and everyone else, how long have they known about this? You stated that some employees filed some detailed descriptions of all of these problems and asked for help. And I just wonder, how long have they known about it? Because I haven't heard that they've done anything about it.
Yeah, just I alerted one of the TV stations here to it, and the story was done, and they gave they say that the administration was working on it and had some plans to attack it. But the mayor has been informed of this, these complaints, back in midsummer or somewhere like that. I don't have the complaint in front of me. But after getting no response, they were compelled, the complainants were compelled to send me a copy and try. So I don't know if I lost your caller, but call back. And I do apologize for the phone problems here. But it really, believe it or not, it's not the phone problem. It's the guy sitting here talking to you who still got to learn the tricks. So anyway, don't hesitate to call in. And sometimes we're on it and sometimes we're not. Personnel losses continue despite attempts to fill vacancies. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Yeah, Mr. Cox, thanks for taking my call. I was listening to your show. It's very interesting. And I think you stated that in 2010 they were given federal funding, the EMS, and they only used $38,000 of that federal funding.
No, they were given, this is money given, allocated by the state health department.
I see.
And they also received federal grants as well.
Yes, sir.
So that's yes. Extra money. I don't know the amount, and I didn't speak to it.
Yeah. What bothers me is what's problematic to me is that you mentioned, you know, people possibly losing their loved ones or having problems themselves when they need ambulance service, and it seems like you know, their capacity to respond is really diminished, is marginalized because they don't really have, you know, they don't have the, maybe a proper equipment. They don't have a, they could probably use more vehicles. But the bigger problem is that, what if there were a disaster like a tsunami or earthquake, anything of that nature that would cause, you know, mass problems with, you know, with humans being hurt? How would they adequately respond to it? So if you could answer that, I'd certainly appreciate it.
I don't have many of the answers, caller. It's puzzling, and I'm trying to sort through this, and I don't want to give you the wrong answer, but I'll try and speak to it. Good morning, caller. Comment or question? Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Carol.
Yes.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Good topic because I called for ambulance last month because I thought I had a heart attack. And they came within 10 minutes. They gave me nitroglycerin on the tongue and gave me baby aspirin, took me to hospital, and
mm-hmm.
I got me there in time. But I noticed that the paramedic was talking to the other paramedic or the driver. Did you do that? Did you do that test on this person? And he said, "Oh, I forgot." You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if because they were too busy or that he was too tired or you know whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I got there on time to the hospital, and they did all the EKG and everything else. Another concern is I understand that remember the police department had this trapeze communication system that mm-hmm. didn't work for them, so they got rid of it,
mm-hmm.
and they got a new system that you know didn't have blackout spots or you know dropout spots for communication. I understand that the ambulance, the fire department, and the Homeland Security, and them have the handy van have the trapeze system, and it doesn't work, you know,
because mm-hmm.
they still have some issues with it. You know, the ambulance is very important, so they need good communication, where to go, and all that kind of stuff. And if they're using the trapeze, and there's only like I understood 8 towers for the whole Oahu, you know, the
mm-hmm.
coverage is not that very good, so.
Mm-hmm.
Why is the city spending all this money on this trapeze thing and it doesn't work?
Yeah, and why not hire people and fill the positions? By the way, that that statement about 90% of the calls, 90% does not arrive on time. That time is set by professional standards of nationwide. So, and
right.
I don't have the. So it's not just an arbitrary. It's something that everybody else are successful in working within those means, but here in Honolulu we have a problem.
Uh-huh.
But again, arriving late or not on time or what have you is one of the minor things. But what is the cause of all of that?
Uh-huh.
That's the big question, right?
And should the council be involved? Is the council involved in this type of thing?
You know, in one of the complaints, they also sent it to the council, and nothing has happened.
Uh-huh.
So, but the council should have asked for this. But one of the things, and what's misleading, and there's one subject matter that they say that the surveys, the EMS does not do surveys. So, for example, when they transported you, there should be a follow-up later or sometime to ask you how the things go.
Right.
They don't do it that way. They say, well, when you get your bill, there's a questionnaire on the back.
Yeah.
And the auditor suggested, well, why don't you do the interviews and the follow-up rather than relying on that? And the director basically said they would rather rely on that method. So you don't really get. So most of the citizens here said everything was pretty much they were happy from good to excellent,
huh.
Right?
Huh.
But they don't the patients or the person receiving that response or that care calling in don't have an opportunity to know that they're overworked, overpaid, that they're not spending money. Those
right.
are the things, you know. So how can you say you're doing good when you really don't know that they're not spending practically $2 million to enhance the program when there's 30-some positions vacant, right?
Yeah, you don't know the whole picture.
Right, and that's the sad part about it. It's like the earlier caller says, well, why are we throwing rocks, you know? And it's we have to at some point understand being mean and mean-spirited and talking about someone.
Uh-huh.
I didn't say Carlisle dressed funny.
Uh-huh.
I said he failed to serve us as the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And
right, right.
I'll say that on Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, because if that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they raise the issue and bring my attention to it when we see them on cue when right. it comes to getting a photo opportunity, right?
Uh-huh.
But we don't hear from them, a peek from them, when they're getting complaints and detailed complaints and things still worse than they were.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I'm
well,
glad.
Well, I'll call my council person.
Yeah, do that. And
actually, I have a cousin that works for a council person. I'll call that.
All right. Well, yeah, do something because I tell you, looking at this report, the EMS is DOA.
Right.
You know, it's bad.
Right.
All righty.
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, the and M, I know you're out there listening, and I appreciate all of you. But you know, I'm hoping that at some point we learn that while this isn't kind words, everything that I speak isn't kind, and but this is government, see. So we can't compromise. Even I mean, we sit back and we see things going to pot, and because we're nice, you know, when we're nice. That's what lead us into this dungeon, because we're nice and we don't want to offend them. I think I'll vote again for Nestor Garcia. He's a nice guy. He dresses nice. He's been in the council for a long time. Exactly. That's the reason you shouldn't vote for him. I understand Ron Manure is thinking about coming back. Where are we at this date and time that he might run for city council? If you're listening, Ron, go get some sobriety training or something and stick to being a lawyer. You've already told us what you're about, and we've seen how you work, and we know what you're about. And any of you out there, if that's mean-spirited, how on earth, just take this EMS situation, how on earth can we tolerate this? How can we allow them to look us in the eye? And knowing that the very things that we hired them for and picked them for, they can't do. Yet, we want to tell them how nice they are and they're good folks. It's time for a new day, folks. You can do it. You can make a change by one simple stroke of a pen and take the eraser and erase those old thoughts in your mind. You owe them nothing. They owe you everything. Because it's your government for the people, of the people, by the people. It's your government. Not only that, you're paying for it. So not just in theory and the philosophical thing about America and the Constitution and what have you. This is your government because you're buying it. You're paying for it. They're taking money out of your pocket. So you have a right to tell them what they really are and when they are. So anyway, I hope you join me back in the second hour, and we're going to talk about Haseko, and I'll finish this up, but loosely. I'll talk to you shortly.
Blue Monday, all I hear you Monday. Got to wait, let us sleep all day. Here come Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday, I'm so tired, got no time to play. Now here come Wednesday, I'm beat to my socks. My girl called, got to tell her that I'm out. Cause Thursday is a hard-working day. It's Friday, I'll get my feet. Saturday morning, oh, a Saturday morning, all my tiredness have gone away. I got my money in my honey, and I'm out on a steam to play. But Sunday morning, my head's bad.
I know that we played this last week, but I wanted to play again for a friend of mine who's recovering. Wally Volks out there, I hope you're well. And good morning and take care. See you in the next hour.
Ball. Everybody's talking, no one says a word. Everybody's making love, no one really cares.
There's Nazis in the bathroom just below the stairs. Always something happening and nothing going on. There's always something cooking and nothing in the pot. They're starving back in China, so finish what you got.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. And I'm going to try to finish up. We were talking in the first hour about the ambulance service and... But I guess some could say that we were talking about politics, but it's one and the same, really. Something that happens around this town. So, what I was going to share with you is that the city maintains a contract on the ambulance issue. City maintains a contract with AMR to provide supplemental ambulance. And so some of you say that the ambulance service is pretty good and what have you. And they talk about fixing, and we've talked about the money that's being paid and lack of employees and many vacancies. So they say, the officials that heading these agencies, and Dr. Ireland and others, say that we're fixing it. Now, Dr. Ireland was affiliated with, or I don't know what his relationship is now, with AMR, and that is the American Medical Response. But the auditor found that in addition to operating and staffing a fleet of ambulances, the city's EMS division maintains a contract with American Medical Response. So I'm torn between trying to figure out what is Chuck Tato comes in with the defibrillator and the oxygen and revive some truth and integrity in this process, when if Dr. Ireland has close relationships with AMR, then why is he administering a contract? And the complaint raised issues about that. But the auditor says that, in addition, the EMS division maintains a contract with American Medical Response to provide supplemental ambulance service. The contract requires AMR to provide emergency ambulance services on an as-needed or on-call basis with at least one ambulance available. If EMS is unable to respond to an emergency call, EMS will contact AMR to provide ambulance services. The city's EMS division utilizes AMR to respond to advanced life support calls when its ambulance are out of in other areas on other calls or unable to respond. EMS pays AMR $576 for each transport and seeks reimbursement from the state for AMR services. And this is one of the problems. Now, the doctors say that everything's fine, they're working on it. Here's one glaring matter that jumps out. If you're going to improve, you need to look at all things and factor in all the information and data. So the auditor found that complete data is needed for quality improvement. State contract requires quality improvement program. This is a requirement. The subcontractor contract does not specify response times or require data reports on its performance. So in other words, we hire them, we contract them, we pay them the amount of money of $576 a call, but we don't require them to tell us, as they say here, as a result, EMS lacks important data to fully evaluate the overall ambulance service and improve its program. We recommend that EMS modify American Medical Response contract to include response times, data reports that will allow EMS to monitor and use subcontractor performance data to augment and improve the overall EMS program. The improvements should be part of the strategic long-range plan for improving the quality of the program. How on earth can you contract with someone when you're required to do this, but you were also negligent and failing to do it proficiently and keep it accurately, and then you contract out? Now, again, we're not talking about building permits. We're talking about a matter of life and death. When the phone ring, 911, that should be no delays due to tired workers or unfunded positions or overfunded or unfilled positions or a contractor who is doing it but not reporting anything, so you can't gauge their success or anything. So something's terribly wrong, and there's some resuscitation needed on the part of the EMS. And the state should bear some of the responsibility because they are the ones who oversee it. And that complaint that came out said that they had contacted, and there's a letter in his quoting saying that in contacting the mayor to tell him about it, Carlisle, he's basically responded, paraphrasing, that it's really not our money, so something to that effect. It's actually, the statement is written, and it's on carolcox.com. You can see it, CAROLLCOX.com. But again, I know that this, you probably can't separate the two as to what this is. Is this being mean-spirited, nasty, and foul-mouthed about politicians, or am I trying to just speak to the grit and the truth of what we are faced with and what really, how politics can play? People get in to stay in, but they try to stay in for the wrong reason. Imagine an efficient ambulance service. And I don't know what kind of complaints there are because they don't share them. And by the way, it's been now some 2 months that I've contacted the city EMS, Dr. Ireland, and others, and asked for these documents. that spoke to him using the employee to fix his car and buy tires with his private, with the employee's private credit card. And to date, I've gotten the runaround on that, those documents. I was promised them they would be on their way. Then I didn't get them. Then the corporation council got involved. You see how sleazy this town is when it comes. I requested that information. This is a report that was done and on the shelf, you would think, some months ago. Back in December, that's when documents I'm looking for, December of 2010 and January of this year, almost a year ago. They were done with them. They promised they would send them. I never got them. They referred me to the Budget and Fiscal Services. Budget and Fiscal Services said that they can't give them to me. I need to go back to the EMS, but Budget and Fiscal Services were looking at the documents and approving them. Well, they should have been approved 9 months ago, but nonetheless, to date, I've received no documents. So I've had to appeal. But again, the truth is out there. The employee, the mechanic, confirmed that he did purchase tires for Dr. Ireland's private car and repaired the car for carburetor and PCV valves or some of the other things and what have you so that it can prepare to be ridden and driven in the parade. And there's pictures of that, of him sitting in Dr. Ireland in the car. So anyway, that's what we're dealing with here. And it's up to you, however you wish to accept this. It may be newsworthy or it may be insightful. But this is just rather than say we need to change our pattern of voting and whatever, I'm trying to give you something so you can gauge and hold these guys accountable. And the guy that dresses the funniest and the cleanest and look like he never hit a lick at a snake, as they say in the South, is a guy you want to stay away from because they're too fancy. They got too many buzzwords and fancy words and only speak to you through their public relations person and giving you the shaka. I think that I'm going to try and get a resolution done that if you use the shaka in vain to conceal your slick ways, there should be a penalty. You see, because believe it or not, Al Capone can drive down the street and you know he just did something wrong. And he'll throw the shaka, and he knows that, hey, bro, how are you? And that's what these politicians like to do, throw the shaka. So I believe that there should be a law against you only use a shaka if your heart is in it. You only use a shaka if you care about people. You only use a shaka if you're voted in and you do it because and you do what's right by the people. Then you can do the shaka, and you can put your power fist up for power of anything. Peace signs, whatever, but we need to remind them we're not going to be suckered. Anyway, talking about another subject now on the Haseco, and I want to, I'm sure someone will call in and tell me once again, isn't this funny? I sound like I'm picking on people. This is just, boy, I've become an old hag. Well, anyway, you'll understand later. When you reap the benefits, you'll say, oh, I see why he did that. Making a better state, making a better place for myself, my grandkids, my dog, my chickens, whatever, you know. So this is an article, Residents Praise Plans for Ever Beach Lagoon. Some Ever Beach residents, and this was in the Star Advertiser 11-7-11, so you might want to pick it up and some Ever Beach residents and an elected official, wow, threw their support Sunday behind plans to convert an undeveloped marina into a public recreational lagoon aimed at families. Quote, I see a whole new generation of people growing up with the largest enclosed water feature in our community, end quote, said Representative Kimberly Pine. Kimberly Marcos Pine, I'm sorry, Republican, Ever Beach, Iroquois Point. Well, you know, that just struck my heart, would warm me all over when I heard a Republican talking about giving something to the people here and it was going to be nice. Oh, I just love that. It made me feel good. My warm, tingly feelings went to my toes. But so then this will help bring a whole new health culture in Everbeach. Wow. A health culture. Now, I want you to listen to that. This is her quote. This will help bring a whole new health culture in Everbeach. And then Pine trains for triathlons at the Ala Moana Beach Park, but would prefer to do her swimming workouts in the enclosed 54-acre brackish water lagoon bounded by White Plains beaches and Onaula Beach Park that was carved out of coral and originally planned as a marina that never materialized. Quote, I see triathletes wanting to come out here for their races, Pine said. And there will be lots of families, too. Everbeach families are very large and close-knit and like to do everything together. With this lagoon, we'll never leave our community. So that was Representative Kimberly Pine. Why is that important, you might ask? Well, you see, it wasn't that the lagoon didn't just materialize. The lagoon was a requirement. The marina was a requirement. You see, the Land Use Commission, the State Land Use Commission, granted land changes and zonings and what have you, and I'm going to speak loose to this, and granted those because the developer, M&M Associates, approached the Land Use Commission, acquiring land from Campbell Estate, and they wanted to put this big marina in and build this community and call it the Ever Community or Marine Community or something of that nature. But anyway, it was a corporation from Colorado, and they wanted to build this area, Ever Marina. And, well, that was part of it. So they were simply, it states here, and what I did, I went to the Land Use Commission because when I read Pine's statement, and I thought, she got to be one of the most reckless people that I've witnessed in politics in the last couple of years. Because, first of all, she has a greater obligation to the people. This matter was not done for the sake of a lagoon. It wasn't that it didn't materialize. This was required. This marina was a promise by the people there. This is a proposal. I'll just read you some through the finding of fact and conclusion of law issued 9/21/1994. Proposal for reclassification. Petitioner proposes, that's the guy who's proposing to develop. Petitioner proposes to develop the subject property and the 707.6 acre area into a marina community to be known as Ever Marina. Not Ever Lagoon. So triathletes can, so imagine you bought a house out there thinking you're going to have waterfront property. And you paid a premium, and it's explained in this document that was one of the selling points. You're going to be able to have boats, and we'll talk about that. But again, petitioner proposes to construct the marina, residential and community development on approximately 1,100 acres in two phases. A map of the marina is attached hereto as Exhibit A and incorporated herein. The first phase, consisting of 7.6 acres, which includes the subject property and an additional 19.9 acres of park lands acquired by petitioner from Campbell Estate and located at in the 389 acre. So what they did, they took ag land and basically went and approached the Land Use Commission to make some exemptions, change some boundaries and some zonings and what have you. And the petitioner proposes to develop the marina and waterway system for public use now. For public use, yours and mine. Not the just the people that had bought into the property. And creating about 8.5 miles of water frontage and 2,500 boat slips. Listen to that. 2,500 boat slips. That's what was promised. That was what was proposed. They didn't propose a little stinking, muddy lagoon so that triathletes can come and keep all the families in Ever Beach, Representative Pine. But I guess when people give you a little money so that you can stay in, you're willing to sell your soul to the devil and swim in a SERP of pollution. And it's like you've seen over the years where you see some of the politicians, well, I don't have a problem with the water, I'll drink it. Well, drink it. And let's watch you. Let's do a study on you. But for us citizens, we deserve better. So petitioner must obtain a shoreline management permit from the City Department of Land Utilization, a conservation use permit from the State Board of Natural Resources, and a permit from the Army Corps of Engineers. Petitioner estimates that it will complete dredging for the marina in 18 months after obtaining all permits. You see how great of an effort and the commitment, and that's just a small amount of the information that speaks to the building of this lagoon or this marina. They were going to have a number of things. Then the petition also proposes to develop commercial facilities to be known as the Ever Marina Village. Not Ever Lagoon Village, but Ever Marina. So imagine you sitting at home and you think, we can make an investment, buy a home, live there, have oceanfront property or waterfront property, and we know the value is going to go up there. Chances are we're going to get a good return in our investment. But if you're just putting a lagoon and you renege on the marina, then something's wrong with that. So did the people get duped in this process there in Ever? Those that purchased and bought into that property, thinking that they were going to have all of these things? It says that petition estimates that construction of the entire marina infrastructure and mass grading will be completed within a five-year period. Now, does that sound like a marina didn't materialize? Or does that sound like, is it possible, I should ask, that someone approached them and they approached the state and said, let us do these things, and that they knew they were never going to do the marina? Is it possible, and I don't know, I don't want to claim that I know this to be facts, but I'm going to ask that question. Is it possible that given with all of this that was thrown out there and the promises made to get the right to build and construct these houses and this home and the golf course, is it possible that they knew they would never finish it? That this is one of the greatest schemes perpetrated on citizens in the state of this in Hawaii? Is it possible? Well, I can't say conclusively that that is it, but it points to it, because there was the petition estimates that the fee simple residential units will range from a price of $70,000 to $400,000, and this was in 1984. And petitioner proposes the marina includes two major public boat launching facilities, one adjacent to Honolulu Beach Park, which will extend into the marina entrance basins, and other boat ramp and horse adjacent to. So imagine that now. It didn't materialize in Ms. Pine's opinion, and it's a lagoon. We're going to make it a 54-point-some-acre lagoon. Good morning, caller. Come in a question.
Just one statement. In the retail business, this is called bait and switch. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Bait and switch. And the buyers bought it hook, line, and sinker, I might add. And guess what happened? You get a state representative who avails herself to put the smoke screen up. She's the person there. You know, when if you've ever gone to a campfire, some of us that are older than salt, we know how we used to take the kindling and start a little fire for the wood stove, you know, And, boy, I'm smelling biscuits now baked in the wood stove. Okay, anyway. So imagine, this is Kimberly Pine, Representative Kimberly Pine. I must give respect to positions of authority. And she runs and avails herself on behalf of this company, never ever thinking about what the people need and that they might be getting ripped off. Well, they, I take that back. It's not that they might be, because if they invested thinking it was going to be the Ever Village Marina community, I guarantee you they paid top dollar thinking that that's what they were getting. So why couldn't she hold her tongue? Well, this is what the politicians do in this town. They're owned by business. Business own them. They pick up the phone. How I look at this and think, how on earth did the paper get in touch with her too? And then how did she know to respond with these comments? Is that coincidence? I mean, did she check with the company to see if these comments would be proper and would complement what it is that they were finding themselves in? You see, this raises a lot of questions. How did she get, well, you know, why did the paper have her and not Mr. Lee, who's been complaining about this, and some of the other residents who've been complaining about this, or some of the buyers? This is how it works in this town. When there's a problem and they're ready to put the screw to you, they get their little talking heads, because they've given them donations. They've given them fundraisers and helped them along the way. And then they make the phone call. We got problems. Our marina won't materialize. We've been lying to the people. We told the Land Use Commission. And by the way, you know, she say they'll all, the families will stay there in the Ever area because they'll have the lagoon. Why is it that people from the North Shore got all the water up there and they don't stay there? People in Alawai got all the water and they travel around. But what's so unique about the Ever people that get a lagoon instead of what they paid for, and they would stay there? Now, what's really funny about this is that she talks about the lagoon and triathletes. Well, being a triathlete, you talk about health. That's, you know, one and the same. It's health. It's the image. Well, you know that Sand Island sewage treatment plant generate fecal waste. And there was this big scheme to take the fecal waste, you know, there are other names for it, but, you know, because this is radio and it's Sunday morning, I'll just call it fecal, and I think I'm pushing it there. But nonetheless, I submit to you that she say that it's going to be for, it's healthy, we'll rally around it, it's a ephemeral pool, and it's going to be great. But did she not know that the golf course that they didn't have a problem with building that, they got it done. It materialized, underscoring materialized. They put some of the fecal waste on the golf course. Now, the golf course is supposed to serve a portion of it as a stormwater basin, a catchment system to process the stormwater in that area. And I hope you're listening, Ms. Pine, and I hope that somebody out there close to her tell her that this is going to be on the Carol Cox Show on the website at carolcox.com, because I want her to hear it, and I want her to know that she make Tom Berg look like Santa Claus Hepper, in my opinion. And then in turn, let's have a great hearing on this, Ms. Pine. Convene your experts like you did on the hacking and call yourself the commissioner or whatever it is, a non-existing name. But let's call a hearing within the House House of Representatives and ask, hold these people's feet to the fire and ask them, how are they going to compensate the people that purchased these homes thinking that they were going to have a marina setting and waterfront property? and all the businesses and booming businesses and kiosks and selling things and what have you. Ask that, Miss Pine. Then I think you might understand that when you talk about this lagoon, so if this golf course serves as a water catchment basin that was supposed to be in the design a 4-acre pond as catching the water and serving as a sediment basin, and then in turn it would flow into the marina, which then would flow out to the ocean in a diluted fashion because there would be an exchange of ocean water. You get the picture. But instead, Gentry by Eva, all the storm water running off that area and all the pesticides and chemicals. This is not my opinion now. This is in these documents. They speak specifically to them, Ms. Pine, and those of you that think that she's the greatest thing since brown rice. But again, healthy. Triathletes will come and we'll even have them. They'll be the only community with a great lagoon. And I guarantee you, if they swam in it with the contaminants from the golf course, with the fecal matter that they use to fertilize the farm, and don't take my word for it, I have a recording from the state, from the city Sand Island plant manager, describing that some of the first places they put this fecal matter out there, these pellets, of course, reconstituted pellets, whatever that means, processed, you know what, is out there on the golf course to make it green. And then in turn, it's going to flow into this lagoon. And then the big question is this. Will you need an EIS, an environmental impact statement, to now make it a lagoon? Because guess what? It's a drastic change from what you went in, and you needed an SMA for that, and it's a drastic change and alteration of what was originally proposed. And I didn't see any notification to the public other than this, and there might be, but I didn't see anything. And I know that a lot of you are in your right to say that it was going to impact the marine resources there in the ocean, and you were right. And not only were you right, they also affirmed that, they being the petitioner or the developer, they acknowledged that there would be substantial environmental impacts. And yet, you didn't see any of that come by way. And by the way, now I'm speaking loosely because I owe you the responsibility or the respect that I will now seek to obtain a copy of the special management area permit that they were required to get for this. And in there, it will speak specifically to what was supposed to be done, and they were supposed to do an annual report updating as to what, how they were progressing. And you heard that they would have it in 5 years. Now, you know how long it's been since they've been working out there. So I owe you that much, and I will be looking for it and coming back, and I think it's the right thing to do. But petitioner estimates the construction of the marina infrastructure and all was going to be 5 years, I told you. The petitioner proposed the marina include two major public boat ramps, launching boat ramps. Where have we heard that before? Let's go over to Coalina. That was the same trick. As I speak to you right now, the public is being denied what is rightfully theirs to use the public boat ramp. And where is Ms. Pine in that? Why isn't she speaking to that? Why isn't there an article that say we need to give the public what it is? Because we took from them in exchange, they were promised these things, and they didn't get them. So I am not defending Tom Berg, but you get the picture now. I'd rather have a person who is allegedly drunk and upset because he can't find his telephone, because you got to stay in touch, you know. You can't reach out and touch anyone if you don't have your telephone. But you can reach out and touch everybody if you're willing to speak for companies and tell them, You don't even, I mean, Pine should have asked one question. Well, was there something else supposed to be in this hole instead of a lagoon? And what happened? Didn't have the presence of mind to do that. But I guess when you're busy trying to stay in office and desperate to stay in the party and want to now become a city councilman, a woman, a person, you do anything. You'll sell your soul to the devil. And I'm hoping that the listeners out there, those that of you that purchased in that property, I hope you have the presence of mind to beat it down to the Land Use Commission and obtain the documents. I'll put a link on my website, carolcox.com, in the coming week, where you can go and look at those documents. And I believe, now I'm not a lawyer, don't give legal advice, but I believe you can raise some hell with this one. You don't have to wait until the politician bail you out. I believe that what was presented, it's all in writing. What was proposed, it's in writing. And I didn't see a single news story that said the marina did not materialize. And so some of the other things, petitioner proposes to dedicate approximately 17 acres of recreational waterways to be built on subject property along the internal greenbelt system for public bicycle and pedestrian use. Don't know if they did that, but again, what I'm reading from, I give you the docket number for if you want to go to the Land Use Commission website, you can go there. And the Land Use Commission was quite efficient in responding to me. Mr. Dan Davison there sent these up on a request. And so the docket number is A, as in alpha, 83-558. And that's MSM and Associates. They are the original petitioners now, not Haseco. So if you want to do some research on this and, you know, sharpen your tools and put some ammunition in your gun to go when you go to sue these dudes or take legal action or get the reduction of your house or force them to go ahead and build a marina, that's what you'll need. And the Land Use Commission, let me just pull this up right quick, and I apologize for being a little slow, but we'll try to get it for you. And so what you want to do is to take this and go there, and I think you might want to talk to Miss Pine and ask her. So go to http://, or just go luc.state.hi.us. Again, that's luc.state.hi.us. And, or just Google State Land Use Commission and go to their website. And you want to look up A alpha 83-558 Eva Marina. And you want to see A, alpha, 89-651. And so understand now, one of these is phase one and the other is phase two. And you want to go there and pull that up. And there is there's one in 10-7-1990 was also there. But go and you'll look there, and I encourage you, don't get caught up into the trickery and this lagoon. Now, if you're happy with the lagoon, no problem. The fishermen and the boaters out there, you had two boat ramps promised, and I don't know what they're going to do to compensate you for that. And this isn't about, and they talked about it. As I say, this is one of the few uses in the area. The golf course will be located along the western and northern boundaries of the subject property adjacent to the NASBP, will be an integral part of the flood control system for Eva Marina. So if they're not going to do the marina, and it was an integral part of the flood control system for that area, then something's wrong there, because that brings in issues with your flood insurance. Because to qualify for that, you had to show that you had a special process and you had to address those issues. And so this is a big problem. The boogie bear has yet to knock on your door, folks. If there is a flood, are you covered? I don't know legally, but if the insurance and all of that was based on what was proposed by engineers and certified and what have you, and then they modified and changed it, they'll leave you high and dry. So something's wrong here, and it's not just about a boat ramp so fishermen can go, like at Coalina. This is about someone sold you something and didn't deliver. And to add insult to injury, one of your leaders, and there are other leaders out there now, mind you, there are state senators. I don't know exactly if it's Gabbard or Espero, but I'd go knocking on their door too, folks, because they all have some special treatment they've received from these folks. And I would encourage you to, rather than think later and react later, I would suggest you, if any of you listening out there, if you think I'm blowing smoke and I'm trying to just create a talk show and, you know, material for a talk show, you're wrong. I'm saying to you, I see them coming. I hear their footsteps. I see trouble. And I see them driving off in their fancy cars. And I see them using your elected officials to hold you at bay and invite you to swim and play in a lagoon and not the Blue Lagoon. So to handle storm runoff, speaking of your insurance, to handle the storm runoff, a strip of land between 400 and 600 feet wide will be dedicated to open space to allow storm waters to be channeled towards and to eventually drain into the marina. Now, either way you look at this, it's okay. You probably say, well, the lagoon is fine. But now remember, this is a storm water. All the cars and the rubber and the oils and all of that and the fertilizers and the chemicals and the fungicides that's used on golf courses and then the fecal matter that they use to fertilize, it's all going to run into that lagoon. And let's just say it's okay, it's acceptable to you. Are you going to go swimming in it? Do you think the triathlete's going to come out there and swim in it? Remember, these are healthy people. So is there going to be water dumping it out into the ocean? When is it going to be diluted? To do that, you're going to have to go to the Army Corps of Engineers, and I don't recall seeing any permits and any announcements that they would go and do this. So the golf course will also serve as a noise buffer between Eva Marina. See that? Eva Marina, not Eva Lagoon. It will also shield Eva Marina residents from the noise, dust, smoke, and chemical contaminants associated with the sugarcane growing and harvesting operations in nearby areas. Now, this was done. Now, just to give you an idea, when's the last time sugarcane was grown and burned out there and harvested in that area? So you're faced with a lot of problems here, folks. And I'm just trying to pull your coattail and say you might want to look this up. And if you need any help, please don't hesitate. And you, here's a little insurance policy for you. In this docket, in the finding of fact, in A89-651, you might have some chance of hope here. And when you should approach the Land Use Commission or someone. Item 17. Petitioner shall complete the development on the petition area in substantial compliance with the representations made before the Land Use Commission. Failure to so develop may result in reclassification of the property to its former land use classification. So there is some hope there, and they speak to that. But I would encourage you to look and look hard, because if you think you're going to get the money that you invested, you know, that you invested to, in buying this property because it was a marina and presented as a marina, you know, you really got to understand that there is a problem with this. And I hope that you can get some relief from this. I'm hoping. And that is what's going on with this. So anyway, what I would suggest to you is go look that up, and I'm going to post it on the Carol Cox Show at the website. And I don't have all the answers for you, but let me give you a little more tidbits. The total estimated demand for Oahu for boat berth moorings, as expressed by boat registrations, dealers, inventories, and documented boats, is currently 3,186. The Oahu demand has been growing at a rate of 150 berths per year, mooring per year. The total number of boats mooring on waters on Oahu has increased to 414 since 1974. An indication that facility supply has lagged between growth and facility. Petitioner believes the Eva Marina will be able to offer 1,500 public boat slips, or 40% of the total projected slip demand. How about that, folks? So, anyway, you probably heard enough of this, but the thing is, petitioner predicts that the total runoff volume of water during a severe storm is 8 inches rainstorm to about half the total volume of water in the marina. The huge volume of fresh water entering the ocean at ports at the source would have an adverse impact on the ocean organism. And that was argued also. So for those of you that were fighting the fight on the issues of Limu and whatever, you were right. And so if you're interested, send me an email at carol@carolcox.com, and I can help you walk through this and get the documents. And I'm going to take a break here for a bit, and I know we'll be closing for the next hour and be done. And I'll see you next week, but I'll be back shortly.
A new American revolution has begun, not against the forces of a colonial kingdom, but a rebellion against an oppressor that has risen among us. It is not a foreign invasion we have to fear, rather the threat of a force within our nation that has usurped what was once a dream of having the greatest democracy ever known to man. We now live in a world where the population has grown exponentially, and the planet is running out of resources to sustain us all. We in the inner city and those struggling in the suburban ghettos may not realize it yet, but make no mistake, the people who control the technology and run every enterprise that makes up our world have seen this coming for a long time. The ideas of renewable energy, global warming, the idea of collectively working were purposefully bought out, derailed, demonized, or corrupted in favor of an economic structure designed by a monetary caste system. In a desperate attempt to convince us that we need to maintain that extravagant existence, they've pretended we might share in their dream, that we can justify any inhumanity in its name. Out of this blind ignorance was born the curse of slavery. Many of the founders of this nation were themselves Masons. That is not a left-wing or right-wing conspiracy theory. It is a widely known and accepted fact. So then explain to me how a nation founded by men who not only understood the long and complicated history of Europe, but also that of Africa, could permeate such a lie in convincing the American public that one race of men was superior and one inferior. When in fact we know that all the early men, the people who created civilization, every aspect of what we see today, the foundation of all modern human life, were from Africa. The greatest cowardice, of course, came not with slavery itself, unfortunately, but with the excuses for slavery. For if America had been as brave as the Roman Empire and all other empires that had come after her and claimed, no, we were just stronger and that's why we took you, then when slavery was over, racism would have probably followed in suit. But instead, it was the social lie, the religious lie that was told, that stayed in the minds of people, that separated one human being from another. In order to distract us from the issues of class and freedom, they created issues around religion and race to dominate the world for centuries to come. Some claim that they respect the culture of life in this country. They cry out for the indignity of children that are slaughtered before they are born. But God has not penetrated their souls, for they have no empathy, nothing in their cold hearts for the hundreds of thousands of lives we have taken in our wars overseas, for that which they call collateral damage, which are the burnt and damaged children of the world. They have no prayers for them, only snide commentary on the internet and laughter in their hearts, and yet you claim to be one with God. We talk about immigration in this country. Might doesn't make right, ladies and gentlemen. It just makes right now. What we are saying to the rest of the world is, one day when America grows weak, one day when her legions falter, on a day when her economy crumbles, China, Russia, Europe, whatever power has arisen, all you have to do is come here and conquer us in a few military excursions, and then you too can set up shop here, and in 100 years you can tell every red-blooded American, no, you are an illegal human being. I am the true citizen. I have all the rights. You have no rights. Maybe you forgot how you got this country. Maybe you take for granted the blood, the sweat, the tears that the people who live in practical serfdom shed every day. For we may not run America, but we make America run. We talk about the law, yet how many indignities have been legal in the past? How many treaties with Native American people have we broken? How many international laws have we violated? And speaking of laws, how can a corporation be regulated by a government that is funded and controlled by corporations? How can there be accountability for people who see a profit margin above the lives of Americans, above the lives of human beings in other countries? We have taken the soul out of ourselves and placed them inside machines. My words, of course, will be marginalized, demonized in typical fashion. Anytime you dare to question the power structure, they say you hate America. No. I love this country. I see its beauty every day in its people. And I love it a lot more than those that have abandoned the American worker, that have chose to exploit and try and take away every single benefit that she has. Those that attempt to make excuses for every atrocity committed in the name of supposed freedom. Those who demand accountability from everyone, but offer none themselves. Who favor contracts over lives. Who favor invasion and control over organic democracy overseas. The greatest flaw that any intelligent person has is to think that they're smarter than everyone else. And so, as the government has planted its spies amongst us, we have planted our spies among them. They have infiltrated every branch of the American government. They have retrieved names, data, hard numbers, the paper trail that will expose those that truly control this country, those that control the political parties, those that control the oil industry, the energy, those that stand behind the company.